Besides Earth, what is your favorite planet?
Hey, yo, welcome back to the High Kicks podcast. How we doing, guys?
We good.
Finger guns Pluto.
Not a planet.
Fuck you, guys.
Not a planet.
I don't care.
Not a planet. Next answer.
I don't care. You want a different answer?
We're asking about planets.
All right. It's Uranus, but because of the fucking pictures of it and like the close-ups are really sick because you see the rings around it. And so like there's like little asteroids along the rings, and like because it's also called Uranus, it's like there's little dingleberries around it.
I was gonna go with an immature answer like that too, but I'm not gonna lie, like I like Neptune. I was like a Roman mythology nerd. I like Neptune. So I like Neptune. It's lame as shit, but...
Bro, I thought you were going to say King Neptune from SpongeBob influenced that decision. And I was going to say, all right, but like that bald-headed motherfucker. But
nah, not even.
It's to me, it's Saturn. It's not even close.
Why? Taking the words of Beyonce and putting a ring on it?
Hopefully. But Saturn is very important, just like Jupiter. They hold the asteroids in the asteroid belt away from Earth, so that way we are not catapulted, and every 100 years we don't become the dinosaurs. Also, its rings really fucking big.
Nice.
I like that. Uranus has tiny rings. I'm going to keep it real. Neptune, tiny rings. Like, we're talking ring size. Like, I'm just saying. I like a planet with really cool fucking rings.
What color are the rings around Uranus?
Jesus. We got to talk about footy. I'm just... I don't want to get too deep into the whole, like...
Hey, there we go. You don't want to get too deep into it.
God damn it, girl.
All right. Yeah.
I don't want to focus too much on the FA Cup, but I do.
Just suck. I just wanted to get that across. And like, speaking of Uranus, yeah, man, you ass. Can we move on? Like, do we got to talk about the FA Cup more?
Yeah, we do. It's a very important cup. It's a very important cup.
Go ahead, Chad.
Very important. Very, very, like, it's up there, man. I will say, I love how, like, your team provides you guys with, like, the tiniest bit of hope, and then it disappears immediately.
Yeah.
I thought we could move past this shit. All right, fine.
It's also, like, you're not planning.
I don't
want
to talk about it.
This is one of those, like, detrimental type seasons where you're not in Europe next year.
Yeah. Well, they could win the Europa League.
They're Chad.
Just kidding.
Hey, Mr. Relegation, get the fuck out of my face. Who do you think you're
talking to?
But
it's one of those situations that, like, you don't make Europe. You don't get the Europe money. You don't have as much money
next
year.
Yes, we suck. Like, I understand the entire situation. Like, I understand you have to explain it for the viewers at home. You guys are assholes. Like, I want you both to understand this. Like, I know I'm going to keep on referencing Uranus because, my God, like, you guys are fucking worse than, like, me. Like, holy shit. Like, you guys literally come out here and just, like, whip it out on the table and just be like, yo, you suck. And, like, you are going to suck. And, like, guess what, Chad? Fuck you. And guess what, Brian? Yeah, you may win the Champions League and you may end up winning the fucking Prem, but you're dumb and Yeah, that's why you bruise your arm on a trampoline, you bitch. Fuck you. You're built like the Slinky from goddamn Toy Story. Fuck out of here. Chad, I like your haircut, you bitch.
Sorry. Damn.
I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, I wish they were better. Like, I'm at the point now where, like, I love the rivalry and I love when it matters and I wish you guys were better.
Yeah, because, like...
Like, I don't actually wish you were better. I love beating you. Don't get me wrong.
I know, but the two of us actually... Like, bro, you've been beating on us for, like, a while now. Like, you don't have anything to worry about.
I like when
the
games have weight. I like when they matter.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's actually competitive rather than right now where we're barely a prem side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying I don't do that when my team sucks every week. I'm just saying.
No, I was just trying to show Carl some pity.
Hey, Leicester fan number one over there. How's everyone above the age of 30 doing on your team? And how's relegation looking and retirement? The R's are really ripping for you. So,
I mean,
he was expecting to get relegated.
I'm going to tell you this, Carl. Leeds United has a better team entering next season than you guys do, and they aren't even in the Premier League yet. So,
wait. You just said United does.
Leeds United has a Leeds better United. Team.
Okay, Leeds I didn't hear United. The Leeds part. My bad. You may be right, but you know what? Leicester won't be there, and I can make fun of you all I want.
See, you guys are like big oil companies complaining that like capitalism hasn't benefited you enough.
Yeah, literally.
So, this is my commie take of the day. Anyways,
I was going to say, Brian's literally sitting on top of the league by fucking 13 points. He doesn't give a shit what happens.
Yeah, I think we should eat the rich.
I agree.
Yeah. What if we divided? What if we obliterated Liverpool and gave everyone else their points?
I like that idea.
I like that idea, too.
I feel like that's very considerate. I feel like we should give it to 14 and below.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not sure why, but just disperse it evenly between those teams.
I agree. Except Everton. Actually, take 10 points from Everton and give it to Leicester City.
That's just in the clause, though. That was a guarantee. Guess what? Everton breached financial fair play again. It's just what it is. And this time, you know what? Leicester was looking a little low on funds. So they were like, you know what? Award it specifically to Leicester.
Since we're talking about Leicester, did you guys know the BBC law, not launched, what's it called? Posted an 80-minute long podcast episode talking about how much of a shit show the club is. 80 minutes of pure podcast.
You got Jesus roasted Christ. In an 80-minute BBC podcast?
Well, no. No. It's like BBC Leicester literally said, all right, this team is so shit, we have to sit down and talk about how bad they are for 80 minutes. Like, top to bottom.
That's insane.
I mean, yeah, but I personally feel like I'm going fucking insane because I've been right on this team. Again, this is like the fourth straight week that I've been on here and I've said this. Everything that could potentially have gone wrong for this team has gone wrong. And they wanted to be little baby boys and not take a points deduction. So that's what we get.
Yeah, you suck.
Am I the only one having a good time this season?
Shut the fuck up.
That's what I had to say, man. That's what he's the 1% of the 1%. Hold on. Other way. He's the 1% of the 1%.
Brian can literally
you put the choke wrong on hand it. Up.
He literally has a player who is having like one of the best seasons we've seen as of recently. Like, and arguably the best season in Premier League history.
He played like shit today. Like
and
Bro, but it doesn't fucking matter. The dude's gonna have 30-20. He's gonna win the prem. He's sitting fucking high and pretty. Guess what? You may have like been shit against PSG. Allison saved your goddamn ass and you converted chance. We'll get into all you fucking needed.
Yeah.
We'll get into that when we get into the Champions League.
Yeah, but like sticking with the prem, like, bro, Van Dijk is literally playing like one of his best seasons of his career. I did not expect this. Like, Van Dijk is balling the fuck out.
Yep. Dominic Szoboszlai has been so good.
Bro, but like, back to literally everyone on Liverpool being good. Like, their midfield, solid.
Yep.
Everyone's playing fucking solid.
Gravenberch has been outrageous this season.
Like, in terms of like the way that players are actually playing, I think the least impressive player, I would say, in my personal opinion, has been Trent.
Not today. He was outrageous.
Not today. But for what he's done throughout the season, like, he's done his job, don't get me wrong, but like, just because of what I've previously seen out of him, it's just been insane. And like, you have Luis Diaz, you have Mo Salah, you have Cody Gakpo.
On the Trent thing, if you're comparing him to his other previous seasons, I'm not necessarily sure that that's fair, because it's a new manager and a new style. And while he is serving in balls and serving in crosses, he's not as involved in the offense.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, maybe it's been unexpected that we're not seeing it, but his role has changed a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm more surprised by that. I'm underwhelmed by his offense, but like taken back by his defense, because I wasn't expecting this out of Trent. Like, Trent actually can like make a tackle right now, and like, that's a scary thing. But like, that being said, I feel like because he's not having as much of a role in terms of the attack and everything like that, I don't know about his future, but like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, this goddamn side, like, screw you, Brian. Yeah.
Hear me out. Arda Slot is playing him like this, so his value doesn't increase, because everyone will be stat looking and being like, oh, he didn't do good. And terms of,
I don't attack, think it's that deep.
I know it's not
that deep. Real will still buy this dude no matter what, so it doesn't matter. He's still their number one target. Oh, yeah.
Andy Robertson's nearing wash territory.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just because he doesn't have the infinite stamina glitch anymore. It's similar to like having an infinite ammo glitch in GTA. Like, he just kept on doing that shit before games, and it just kept on like holding out. Like, and during half, you would just restart it again, and then it would just work. Like, he would do like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, and then like a bunch of lefts and a right. Like, the dude was just cracked. And like, that's the thing, being able to get up and down the field right now, like, at his age, I'm sorry, like, you can't move around the pitch the same way. Like, it's just what happens. And like, I wouldn't say he's completely washed. Like, he's still like an integral part of this Liverpool side, but it is time to start looking elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's like Casemiro washed, or like,
I mean,
Varane washed when he got to Man U, or like, literally like a lot of other players like washed. Like, he's still like viable.
I honestly feel like any team in the world right now will take the situation of, oh no, Andy Robertson is washed, we're still first in the league. Oh, what, good heavens. Like, oh, good heavens. That's like a really good situation to be in, that you can just move on to Andy Robertson so casually. So,
yeah, and guess what? They can probably sign anyone in the world that they want. they can probably end up getting Jeremy Frimpong and then end up getting like a crazy left back too in there. Like, I don't know, like, just create like a perfect ideal young talent that they'll scout out of Costa Rica. Like, let's say that. Like, literally, it doesn't matter. Like, Liverpool are set up pretty for next 2-3 years.
Oh, yeah. I think they have, like, a really good chance of going back-to-back. I won't knock on wood either, but
I think it's very dependent on the way if Rodri ends up coming back and the way that the charges pan out. I want to still see something. Like, sorry, I'm still one of those people. But
I think even with Rodri, man, there is so much wash in that Man City team. And I understand they have good guys. But obviously, the big fun thing today was the Champions League.
I don't want to talk about it because guess what? I'm not fucking there. I don't know why you want to talk about it because you weren't fucking there.
Yeah, well, we blew in the last day of Spurs. Carl, you know, TV Carl, fucking crying. Carl,
this show isn't about us.
I know.
I'm going to talk about it like it is because I'm here.
All right. So let's talk about yesterday first, then. I think that's a fun thing to talk about for me and Chad. No. Brian. Do me a favor.
What?
Take a seat.
Do you guys want a two box?
Yeah. What? Because your bitch ass is about to literally like do the craziest to Liverpool. So yeah, like, well, let me and Chad take this.
I will say, very funny how last week we stated Arteta is cooked, and then he proceeds to score a touchdown without a striker.
Fucking Brazil without an attack, like
against a PSV team. That's what? Not, like, actually, like, I understand PSV is like washed. You know, they're starting Rakitic and all that shit. It's like, that's not a pushover fucking team. That's not a 7-1 team.
No, it just is not a 7-1 team, no matter what way you flip it. The way that Odegaard played was out of this world. Like, everyone in this Arsenal side clicked. Like, I'm going to be honest, I was very surprised to see this.
My God, honestly,
it was fucking 7-1. You don't expect that.
Yeah. Obviously, you got to see like what goes on later in the season, but...
Yes, but
I feel like with Arteta, I feel like it's understandable that we've given him a lot of time.
Yeah.
And obviously you can say he's running out of time, but it's like at the same time, it's like dude doesn't have a fucking attack and he still has like a squad. Like
that's what I was saying. Hey, literally, you're just repeating exactly what I said already. Because guess what? Arteta tactically, like when he has the right personnel, yes, he is elite, but guess what? When you're playing a side that is like the elite of the elite, it's really difficult to present yourself in any sort of fashion. Like the Prem is a different sort of competition. Like PSV is not a Prem side. Like it could be like in the relegation battle, but like I'm gonna be honest, like that's where it sits.
I will say this. I'd like to give a Reddit gold comment of the day to Finnegan265. To provide context, my phone screen was broken. There was a white line down the middle. I couldn't see the score of the Arsenal PSV games. And he proceeds to leave the comment. He proceeds to leave the comment. They're all red cards. It was 1-0 to PSV.
Nice.
You get today's Reddit gold.
Nice
comment of the day.
Hey, there we go. Real ended up beating Atletico like everyone expected. It wasn't in any sort of spectacular fashion. It was just they scored two
fuck
goals.
You. I'm coming back for this.
Brother.
Julian Alvarez's match was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like Real didn't do anything spectacular though.
So I just need to point out, in November of 2023, we were talking about players that Manchester City we thought were going to sell. And we all said it was going to be Julian Alvarez if it was going to be any of their young players. Yep. And we posted that to TikTok. And people commented on that shit. No, that's not going to happen. They're never going to sell Alvarez. Well, they fucking did, and they fucking shouldn't have.
Yep.
Dad, what's that pink sticker on your head?
That is for a pimple.
Oh, nice.
Oh. Shout out to my girlfriend for giving me it.
Nice.
Very nice. But yeah, so Real beat Atletico, but Julian Alvarez, like you guys are talking about, built different. Rest of Atletico, typical defend, like sit in the box and literally just cower in the corner, see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're Atletico, you're playing at the Bernabeu, I think you take a 2-1 any day of the week.
Yeah,
that is fair.
It's mostly what they do in the second leg. I think the Arsenal like second leg is already ripped. Villa being home, they won 3-1 against. Yeah, like they won 3-1 against Bruges, like and dominantly so.
I will say,
Dortmund
before we move,
and Lille.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Was exciting. That shit was fun. Because I really like Lille overall. Like, I want them to go far in this tournament.
Full honesty, I didn't watch that one.
Nah, it was just a really close back-to-back match. Like, that's pretty much all it is. Like, Dortmund didn't really create too much. They got lucky in the first half, applying a lot of pressure, and then really let off the gas. But Lille just stayed on them, ended up scraping out a goal. They aren't expected to go far in this competition, but I'm interested to see the second leg of this.
I mean, I'll be honest here. Like, they don't really have a attacking midfielder right now, Dortmund. Like, yeah, it was a good first half. It was a shit second half.
It was a garbage second half.
Like. And again, I feel like if you're Dortmund, you can't really afford a second half that bad at home.
Oh, and but that's just all it was. Like, they just completely let off the gas and just couldn't do anything in the second half. Like, it was just completely disappointing. Like, the lack of Royce in that midfield, like, is definitely seen.
And the other, like, I think the biggest criticism has definitely got to be on Kovac, Dortmund's coach. Oh, yeah. A single change before the 84th minute.
Yeah.
Kind of fucking insane. It's like, I've seen Steve Cooper and Ruud van Nistelrooy not do anything in the second half all season, and I'm fucking watching Dortmund collapse in real time, and I'm thinking, okay, are you going to actually do something here? And of course, no. I don't know why. I don't know why these coaches are like, I might have $200 million sitting on the bench. No, I won't use it. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
God damn it, guys. Use your fucking benches. This is my biggest pet peeve.
Especially since they change it to 5 subs.
Exactly. Motherfucker, you're playing more games than ever before, and you're going to tell me you're going to just give the starting 11 more minutes? You expect them to do better with more minutes? Come on, man.
Heading into the second leg, I'm really interested to see the way that Lille plays. Like, I definitely think that they can end up on top. Like, I think Dortmund are going to be more prepared for it, but I think Lille is something that Dortmund aren't going to be expecting.
Oh no, I don't expect Dortmund to win this at all.
Nah.
Yeah,
I think they've unfortunately thrown another Champions League season away. But
yeah,
that's been Dortmund for 25 seasons.
Bayern smacked the crap out of Leverkusen.
Yep,
who smacked them?
Yep.
So Inter. What do we do as a world when Harry Kane wins a brace? I mean, wins a double.
He's not gonna win a double.
I'm just saying the way this fucking Bayern Munich team can play, man.
I have to see. Like, here's the thing: I saw them in person, and I'm in complete agreement. Like, the way that Elise has really developed into the squad, the way that Sané is so integral to it, the way that Davies was the one who ended up like. Being so versatile in the last round. That's what I mean. Like, this Bayern side can do it all. They have the pace. They have the talent. Like, they have it all. So barring health, I think they can. Like, they are in a good position to win the Champions League. Do I think they're going to do it because they have Harry Kane, though? No.
I'm going to keep it real, man. Like, I mean, Harry Kane scored his 30th goal in, like, all competitions. It's good to actually see him finally be on, like, a good team while he's having a good year. Yeah. I will say, very satisfying. Like, if there's anyone out there, I understand, like, for the purpose of, like, a ongoing joke that's been going on for, like, 10 years of my life to keep it going, that would be really funny.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's deserved it at this point. At least something above his head. Just get something in the silverware department.
I mean, yeah. I think they're going to win the Bundesliga.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 1,000%. But I
presume so, barring, like, the craziest incident.
I think that was, like, a top two Bayern Munich performance of the season. And
it's, we'll see if there's more. Like, we'll see if there's more peak to come.
Company's put together a good fucking team. He's put together, like, I mean, this is your typical scary Bayern Munich Champions League team that we see year in and year out. Obviously, took a little bit for them to rebuild, like, but
yeah,
it's still scary Bayern Munich. So
always,
yeah.
Inter, on the other hand. Yes, they won 2-0 against Feyenoord. Yes, they dominated this game. But this shit got scrappy. So, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean what I mean by that?
What do you mean by that? You got to back up them words, boy.
these yellow cards weren't... We're all too clean, so I'm just gonna let that rock out. And
I think
I'm interested the way that the second leg's gonna come out, because I don't think they're gonna fuck around in this on zero.
Oh yeah, I think if you consider Feyenoord's injuries, they played well. It's just you look at Inter. I see a lot of that Tuchel Champions League side. I'm not saying they're gonna win the Champions League. It's just. They're a really good defensive team. They have they don't need to score four fucking goals to win a game. They can. They're comfortable winning games 1-0, 2-1. That's what this team is built for,
bro.
What this team has done all year. That's what this. They're good. I mean, hey, and it's a Barella Champions League strategy.
It's still doing his thing.
Exactly.
That's all they need. Like, legitimately, that's all they need. And Lissandro. Or not Lissandro, Lautaro Martinez is just disgusting. Like, guess what? Like, he's always in the conversation for, like, top scorer in the world. Like, yes, he is underrated in terms of his overall career. Do I want him over a couple other people? No. But in terms of real life, guess what, guys? He's fucking legit. So with those two, Turam's playing great. Bastoni playing great. Mm-hmm. That's all they need. Like, legitimately, all they need.
They just need Lautaro Martinez. They just need they just need a goal. That's literally it. And I think Inter can easily knock off a Liverpool, a Bayern Munich, or an Arsenal. Like, they have that in them. They can
Liverpool, Liverpool or an Arsenal would be in the final.
I mean, I just meant, like, in terms of, like, quality of team.
Their talent.
I mean, like, they can take on a really better fucking team and still
That's fair.
Win on aggregate, like, 2-1, 3-2. They can do that.
No,
but what I'm saying, but, like, when I say Liverpool and Arsenal, they wouldn't have the aggregate chance were they to face them, is all I'm trying to say.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? It would be a one-off. Arsenal, there's no aggregate.
Oh.
It would be the final. So there's no aggregate.
I was just trying to say quality of team.
Oh no, I agree with you. Quality of team. What
I meant, like, they can beat the Liverpools and Arsenals and Bayerns is what I mean.
I agree with that.
Barca Benfica.
So impressive from Barcelona.
Oh, Szczesny is looking like the fucking best signing of this offseason. Like, I. he is saving the fuck.
The wild out of this thing
Barcelona
is,
side.
Like, you could make a case that it might not have been the best goalie performance of the day, but it also might have been.
Yeah.
I will say this. Chesney is a Dream League soccer legend. If you know, you know. Yes. Absolutely.
That's actually a hilarious reference.
I literally remember him being the best goalkeeper in the game, and I got the infinite gold glitch like 8 years ago on my iPad while playing Dream League soccer. He was my third signing after Messi and Ronaldo. It was the funniest shit. And all I would hear every single game, Chesney saves! And back to that, Chesney has been fan freaking tastic. Eight saves, I believe, is number. Hold on.
Was it eight or nine?
My note says eight, but I could be wrong.
It was eight saves, 1.18 or 1.18 expected goals on target face.
It's
1.18 goals prevented. 7 diving saves, 5 inside the box.
Champions League is about individual brilliance in the heat of the moment. Yep. And you can have a pile of shit for 90 minutes. All you need is one motherfucker.
I think the craziest thing about this match, though, like if we really look at it, Lamine Yamal, Rafinha, Frankie de Jong, Pedri, Chesney. Those guys won this.
And they were a man down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This game for Barca.
I feel like
Lewandowski and Olmo being non-existent in this game was the biggest surprise to me. Like Olmo, I can understand. But Lewandowski literally being non-existent, his presence does something on the pitch. Don't get me wrong. But like, I'm going to be honest, Benfica, they outpossessed. They ended up playing
a decent match.
Yeah, but like, in terms of the way that they were playing, like, it didn't matter like that they were a man up or anything. Because sometimes, like, guess what? You can be a man up and still get your ass kicked.
Chesney, I think Chesney is a valuable point in which this Barcelona team has, I guess the right word is matured. I guess it's more they are more capable of the moment compared to last season.
100%.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And talking about goalkeepers that can win you tournaments, Brian Coburn.
Do a solo box, you bitch.
Allison, my glorious fucking king. Jesus Christ. So I'm sitting here watching this game, and first half, unbelievable, cuts off the angle, saves with his arm under his leg, cuts off another angle. PSG blow a chance. João Neves, how do you miss that? But like, the diving save after diving save after diving save after diving save after good distribution after cutting off the angle after the punch after the high claim, all of it, masterclass from Allison. And I was having a conversation with one of my friends about goalkeepers the other night. And he was talking about Petr Cech, and I was trying to explain some stuff about Allison, and he was like, I don't fully get what you're saying. And we were watching the game together today, and he was just like, okay, I understand what you mean. Like, Allison is one of those goalkeepers where on his day, he is a brick wall. He is Jonathan Quick when he was on the LA Kings in the playoffs. Like, he is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. When he's on his day, he cannot be scored on, and today was one of those days.
Yes. I do not remember if I'm getting this wrong in terms of sequence, but first it was I forget how you say it. Is it Kvaradona?
I mean, that's the nickname.
Okay, we'll say that.
Kvaratskhelia.
Okay, I don't know why I have Kvaradona down. That's really funny. Anyway,
it's his nickname because he played for Napoli. Yeah.
But that's so funny. I just said that like unironic. I don't know why.
You're an idiot.
Anyways, keep going. I know, I am an idiot. First it's a free kick in the first half, and you're like, oh my god, this guy's having a great game. I mean, not the free kick. He makes a save in the first half. Then you go to the free kick in the second half. You're like, Jesus, Mary, Joseph. And then was the far post save at Dembele after that, or was that before it?
I think it was after that. But there after was that? Also okay,
that's like what sealed it, man.
There was also one where like a cross came in and it was low and he dove down and instead of hitting it to the side or whatever, he swung his fist on his way down and hit it on the ground to a Liverpool player outside the box. Like those are little intentional things that a goalkeeper does, and those are things that people don't notice. Like he was just in a pure flow state today.
Oh yeah, 100%.
The ball was twice as big for him.
This was the day of goalkeeper performances.
I think I'm willing to say this right now. So far, best Arne Slot game so far in his Liverpool tenure. I think he literally managed a perfect game, considering the situation. And
I would agree with that. I don't think this is the best of the team has played. But it was his best managerial performance.
That's what I mean. Literally no one was clicking in
like
your
the way that he decided, or the way that the team just came together to just play defense and defend and do what they needed to do. The balls to take off Salah in the 86th minute when you think you need a goal. And the fact that Harvey Elliott scored less than a minute later with his first touch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like,
it wasn't just him. It was also Darwin with the assist.
Yeah. Like, it is.
The balls to put. And again, I'm going to tell you this. Managers, use your substitutes. That's going to be the key three words of today, class. Okay? We're going to have a fucking good old board right here. Use your substitutes, because god damn it, man, it pisses me off when I don't see coaches do it. Arne Slot's one of the few guys that like fucking does this consistently.
It's why he's been so good this year. Not why, but part of why.
Holy shit, guys, you fucking use your really like, good fucking.
You spend money on depth, fucking use it. But I
exactly, that's the thing. Like if you have it, fucking use it. Like Arsenal, so, I understand why you aren't substituting attackers. But like, well, guess what? Hurt. Like everyone else in the Prem, like everyone else in the world right now, take a page out of Slot's book. Cause my god, this dude fucking knows what he's doing.
I was talking to Carl about this, and I refrained from telling Chad before the show what I'm about to say. But this is one of those things that I always kind of like to say in any kind of sport where championship teams win games that they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And this is a game where it's not fair to Liverpool to say that PSG was robbed, but Liverpool robbed this game from PSG.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the basics. It was just not a good game from a Liverpool perspective. And I understand maybe you have a little bit more possession, you might look a little bit better, but again, you have a coach that knows his substitutes, trusts his substitutes.
Yep.
The three big words.
Use your subs.
Exactly.
Go
to Subway.
So I do want to use the time we're talking about this game to talk about the, as Chad would unironically call him, Kvaradana, but the Kvaratskhelia goal that got called off. It's another one of those like super micro offsides. He was offsides by like literally half of his foot.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, I hate the rule because I don't think as far offsides as he was gave him any kind of competitive advantage, but it's the right call given the rule.
Yeah. And I know I've been glazing the living shit out of Liverpool. I will tell you this. PSG should have won this game.
Yes. Oh my God, this game should have been like.
If you want, if here's the thing, here if PSG was a serious Champions League winning team, they win that game 4-1. Yep. Guess what? Yep. No, they aren't. Liverpool's legit. There we go. That's kind of what. I mean, we know Liverpool's like, legit, but
I just want to stat wise 70% possession to 30, 1.82 expected goals to 0.27, 27 shots to 2, 3 big chances to 1. And I know I talked about Alisson before, but I just so 90 minutes played, of course, 9 saves, 2.26 expected goals on target faced. He prevented 2.26 goals. 6 diving saves, 4 of them inside the box, 1 punch, 11 recoveries.
Do we know the numbers on Courtois in the final with Real Madrid? Because I feel like there's only a handful of performances better than that, and Alisson is up. In my opinion, after that, seeing that game.
Yeah, fair.
But I'll also say this. Konate should have been sent off. That too.
Absolutely.
That's the one biggest little bit of fuckery. But again,
Chad, is that PSG? Is that 2022?
I think so. If we're talking about, I believe. That's well, like.
Okay, hold on.
No, no worries. Do your numbers. But again, good. Champions League winners find ways to win. It is in the lore of the Champions League. It has always been the Champions League. It's just the way the Champions League fucking is. And like PSG, like I'm going to tell you this, Qatar leaving France is actually probably going to save France and their entire system. That's just my opinion. What was Courtois' game? Do not tell me Alisson outdid Courtois, bro. Nope,
I'm laughing. That's why I'm laughing. Okay. Courtois, okay. Never mind. So Courtois also had 9 saves, but he prevented 2.5 goals instead of 2.26. He had 5 diving saves, 7 saves inside the box, 3 high claims, and 15 recoveries.
All right, so I'm just a victim of recency bias.
You're not. No, no, no. What you were trying to say is, and I'm going to save your take here. You were trying to say we haven't seen a game like that since that.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go with that.
Courtois' game was by far better. Courtois' game was the best game I've ever seen from a goalkeeper in my lifetime.
Yeah, but
yes,
good.
Allison's is the best game I've seen since.
You need to figure. Win a Champions League, you need to scam a game. And that's what Liverpool did. Scammer gets scammed.
Yep.
Long story short.
Yep.
And yeah.
And I also again like Arne Slot went 4 for 4 in substitutes and like pivotal fucking substitutes.
Yep. Yep. Liverpool players won that game. Arne Slot also won that game. Allison, you are my glorious king.
Do you have the picture of him on the Jesus statue yet? I can send it to you if you want.
Please do.
Well, I'll send it in the group chat right now.
Okay, cool.
Oh, no, I just accidentally
downloaded. I think that's all we got, though, for this week. I could glaze Liverpool until whatever, but... We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Carl, you're not going to be here for the next couple weeks, though.
Yeah, I'm moving out, so I'll be back when I get back.
All right, peace, guys.